Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul says that none is righteous, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. The reason I start with that verse of Scripture is because you're not here by accident this morning. God brought you here. He is seeking a relationship with you. He loves you, and He wants you to know Him. And that's why He brought you here today. Maybe you came because we have things going on after church. You came because your child got a flyer, an invitation at school, or you came because a student hung something on your front door. But I believe that you're here because God has brought you here this morning. This verse says, no one is righteous, no one understands, no one seeks after God. But he says a few verses later in verse 23, all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. My very simple definition of sin is this: when I do what God says I should not do, I have sinned. And when I do not do what God says I should do, I have sinned. So it is going against what God has said, this is what is best for you. It is doing what I shouldn't do, right? It is thinking of myself. It is becoming angry. It is having thoughts or actions that do not please God. It is doing what I should not do, but it's also not doing what I should do. God's word teaches me that I should have respect and show dignity and grace to all people. And sometimes I don't do that because of the other thing, because I'm selfish. And sometimes I don't do that. So sin is doing what I should not do, and sin is not doing what I should do. And all of us have done that. I have done that. In fact, the Apostle Paul, who wrote these words, said of himself, I am the chief of sinners. He realized that every one of us in the room has fallen short of the glory of God. He writes later on in chapter 6 of this same book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 23. He said, because of that sin, the wages of our sin, what I've earned because of my sin, is death. It is eternal separation from God. That's what I've earned. But that was not good enough for God. I have the wages of my sin as death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God said, no, I'm going to send my son as a gift to the world. I'm going to send him to the world so that he can die for the sin of the world, pay for the sin of the world, so that the world might come to know me through the sacrifice of my son. He says in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrated or shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Nearly 2,000 years ago, on a Friday morning, they took Jesus Christ and they crucified him. They nailed him to a cross and they hung him between two thieves. And they had mocked him, they had beaten him, and they killed him. But yet, he told his disciples, before that ever happened, no one takes my life. I am giving it willingly. Jesus came to give his life for the sin of the world. God came, God sent Jesus to demonstrate his love for you, not just for us, but for you. God sent Jesus to demonstrate his love for you in that while you were a sinner, God's response to your sin was love. God's response to your sin was to send Jesus to die for you. He has never looked on the sinner with condemnation and thrown lightning bolts at us because we are sinners. He says, no, you're a sinner, and I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to send my son to pay for that sin because I love you. God's response to our sin has always been his love. In Romans chapter 10, he tells us in verse 9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, in other words, calling out to God and saying, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is the ruler of my life, he is the king of my life, I surrender myself, I give myself up to God. Jesus is Lord. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. How do I know that Jesus died for me and that he was raised from the dead? Let me give you a couple of reasons that I believe with all of my heart that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ on this Easter Sunday with good reason. Number one, I believe that Jesus died because he was killed by professional executioners. These men were trained professionals in killing people. And the Roman government trained these men to kill people because they wanted people to be afraid of them. And the best way to make sure that people are afraid of you is to kill people in a gruesome, public way so that everyone else knows if I get out of line, that happens to me. These men were professional executioners, and they declared Jesus dead. They took him off that cross. A man named Joseph requested to take his body and put it in a tomb, and they put it there. They put a large stone against the mouth of the tomb where Jesus was buried and posted guards at that tomb. And on the third day, that stone was rolled away, and Jesus came out of that tomb. The second reason I know that Jesus has risen from the dead is because if the Roman government had the ability to prove with a body, with a dead body, here's Jesus, you can see him, he's still dead, they're lying to you. If they had the ability to prove physically with a body that Jesus was still dead, they would have done it. And they couldn't. They could not do that. The other reason I know that Jesus has risen from the grave is because you have 12 apostles who spent the rest of their life telling the world that Jesus Christ is the Savior of mankind, that he has risen from the grave, so much so that they were willing to be killed. Many of them were crucified. They were stoned. They were killed because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And they continued to proclaim even to their death that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to eternal life, the only way to salvation. They continue to proclaim that. But Paul, who wrote this book, said, if you don't believe me, Jesus appeared to over 500 people. Many of them are still alive. Go ask them. He said, "If you don't have to believe me because I wasn't there. There are many, many people that Jesus appeared to, over 500 people, as Paul wrote a different letter to a different church. And he said, go ask them. They'll tell you. They saw him. They saw him. And my fourth reason that I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world and that he rose from the dead is I have never been able to get anyone in my family to worship me as God. Okay? Go home and try it. Boys and girls, go home and try to get your moms and dads to bow at your feet and worship you as God. It will not happen, okay? No one in my family, as much as even my mom loves me, she has never in her life bowed before me and worshiped me as God. And yet Jesus had his mom worship him as God. Had his brother James worship him as God. Had his other half-brother Jude worship him as God. His own family proclaimed and gave their life for the message that Jesus Christ is and was and always will be the Son of God. We celebrate on Easter Sunday morning because we know that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And this verse of Scripture says that if I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead, I will be saved. And he says, Paul says in verse 13, for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. It truly is that simple. To call out to God and say, God, I don't really understand all of this stuff, but I do understand what that guy is saying. I believe that Jesus is Lord. I'm willing to confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. God says, you will be saved. You will have eternal life. He will begin in you a new work through the power of his Holy Spirit, making you into a new man, a new woman, a new boy or girl. That is God's desire for everyone in this place today. There's one more verse of Scripture I want to share with you, and it's the same guy, Paul, writing to a different church in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 7. He explains, why does God want to save you? Let me give you the explanation. It's right there on the wall. So that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. God wants to save you, and then he wants to spend eternity pouring out the riches of his grace onto your life. That's how much he loves you. He wants to save you, and then he wants to spend the rest of your life on this earth and the rest of your life for eternity pouring out the riches of his grace into your life so that he might demonstrate the kindness that he has toward us in Christ Jesus. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the message of Easter. That God loves you and sent his son to die for you and desires to have a relationship with you so that he can spend eternity pouring out his kindness and his grace into your life. The question is, what have you done with that? It's no different. Many of you are here today because you received an invitation to come. God's invitation is the same. You came to this church that maybe you haven't been to before because a random person gave you an invitation. And in much the same way, me as a random person, I stand before you today giving you a different kind of invitation. An invitation to surrender your life into the hands of God and to allow him to bring a transformation into your heart and into your life. There will never be a day for the rest of your life that you will ever regret and ever forget this day. Today can be that day of salvation. I would encourage you, if today you hear these things and you go, I need to talk to somebody about that, find anybody with one of these shirts on. Okay? Find anyone with one of these shirts on and tell them, I need to give my life to God. How do I do that? And they'll either help you or they'll come find somebody that they know will help you to be able to explain that to you. Okay? Let's pray together. And then I think we're going, I'm not sure who I'm turning it over to, but we're going to pray together. And I think Miss Angie's going to come up and give you guys a couple of announcements. Okay?